And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. How the hell are you? Did you have a good Christmas?
Well, Shane, let me tell you what. I'm still on top of a damn mountain. It's taken me 5-6 days here to get a good internet signal so we could get this damn podcast out. It's been one wild Christmas, Shane. We got snowed in one day. We're moving furniture. People moving out on top of the mountain. Let's just say this has been my worst Christmas to date. How about you, buddy?
Oh, man, that sucks. Well, so far, so good. I quit smoking, so I'm a little bit of an asshole right now. But I'm 3 days in, 3 days clean. My youngest, she actually said that's what she wanted me to do for Christmas. So I said, you know what? She's right. It's a bad habit, and I put it down. So just hang with me, brother.
Well, I'm proud of you, Shane. I didn't think you could be any more of a dick, but here we go. We're going to find out. Well, starting off, Shane, you know, we usually jump into the news, but like I said, we've kind of slacked here a little bit. We've been unable to kind of make this podcast work. Well, you know, this isn't going to be an entire off season like this, but just with the holidays and everything, our schedules are mixed up. Like I said, I'm on top of a damn mountain for one more day. Let's jump right into a mailbag question, Shane, because on the last podcast, we left the listeners kind of hanging there. We got a couple of questions, mailbag questions we want to jump into before we get in the news. So let's hop on some mailbag, Shane.
Let's do it.
Listen up, it's time for mail call.
Don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
My turn, what do you got?
Okay, here we go. What color is a fire truck?
Oh, God, I always get these. All right, fire truck. Fire truck. What color are those red fire trucks?
Yes, this first one comes from TH. TH apologized. This was a week ago. So this is a question we've wanted to dive in, but we just didn't want to give you a little brief story about the situation. We kind of wanted to really dive into this. So the interesting question. Says he has a request for Professor Shane to be answered on the podcast or the Reddit. Can you explain IMG Academy for me? Its history. How a sports agent company can legally own a high school. What is hilarious about this post is a couple seconds later, Doyle9305 jumps on and says, I'm placing $1,000 that Shane is going to slide that question right over to Cousin Mike. Which is 98% true. So, without further ado, Mike, can you explain a little bit about the? I mean, I've looked into this. I've done a little research on this, but it seems like this really is something that you would know more about. Can you tell us a little bit about this IMG Academy and how all these hellacious recruits are coming out of one school?
Yeah, it's a really interesting place, Shane. I've actually been down there and covered it a little bit. Working with Saturday Down South, who's based out of Florida, as well as IMG Academy, for those that don't know. Here's the weird thing about it, Shane. I believe it started as like a tennis clinic. I think that's what it was. It was either tennis or, you know, Olympic sports. And they've obviously branched out to football now. And here's the thing that people do not know. And even based on that question there, you know, he was asking about the high school. That's kind of a misnomer, Shane. This is IMG Academy is not a high school. And that's something that a lot of people don't know. It's basically like a
boarding school, right?
Yeah. Yeah. In a sense, it's outside of the traditional high school fields. And that's a big reason why another thing people misunderstand, they think that IMG Academy wins the Florida, you know, high school championships every year. They do not play against Florida high school teams. And if you look at IMG Academy's schedule, it's all teams across the country because Florida schools refuse to play them. So they have to go outside of the school, or excuse me, outside of the state to fill up their schedule. Mm-hmm. And to my understanding, this is something that they've told me, they do not recruit Florida athletes. Now, if a Florida athlete comes to them and say they want to come, they open them with open arms, but they just, they say they don't recruit Florida players. They don't want to take away from the high school programs there. I don't know how true that is. That's what they claim. Now, I do know for a fact, Shane, they recruit players from Texas. That's a big one. The mm-hmm. Texas high school coaches hate IMG Academy. They recruit, you know, basically all over the United States. And not only the United States, Shane, they recruit around the world. They have a couple players from Europe. I know Yelda Frohope from Arkansas, the offensive lineman. He's from Sweden, I believe. And, you know, that's where he started at IMG. Mm-hmm. The Tennessee commit right now, offensive lineman Chris Araka, something, I don't know how to say his name. He's from Nigeria. So, I mean, they will recruit across the world to get guys to come down there. And like I said, they have to play. And also, this is also interesting, Shane, they have two varsity football teams. So not just one, but two there at IMG Academy. So it's just a weird situation, and that's kind of how they get around a lot of the rules because, like I said, it's not a high school. You have to pay a lot of money to go there unless you are, you know, an elite five-star player. I think they offer scholarships to those guys. I'm not sure what's really in it for them to do that outside of you know, the exposure of just having all these elite players, you get scouts down there and what have you. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting place.
Well, one thing too about this, like you said, the games don't count. Mm-hmm. There's no playoffs. It is literally, I mean, it's just geared to get you ready for the next level. That's what this school's all about. And I mean, it's not really a high school at all.
Mm-hmm. One final thing that I got on IMG, Shane, I think the reason you want to go to a school like this, not only do they get you ready for the next level physically, that's what they're known for, you know, just getting these guys ready for the rigors of college football, but mm-hmm. they get you ready academically. And it's a step above high school. It's almost like semi-pro. And I think when you go to that landscape, you know, regardless of where you're from, but if you come from far away and you go to IMG Academy to prepare yourself for college, it's almost the same as when you do sign up and go to college, because a lot of high school players that go to college, you know, they get homesick or they just mm-hmm. or they don't like the school after a couple months or weeks or what have you. But this is basically a transition period where they can kind of go through those growing pains, get that out of the way, and become more prepared for college. So I think you tend to see more of these IMG kids make contributions early as freshmen. You see a lot of them enroll early. A lot of them get that extra spring practice in. And I think that's a big reason why a lot of these guys are ready to play as freshmen and sophomores in college football.
Now, let me ask you, Mike, because obviously this is a machine here, and this machine has been funded most likely from sports agents, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically what this is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you like it? I mean, you got to remember, these are kids. Some of these kids, 15, 16 years old coming in, and it's like this isn't high school. They're doing away with the whole high school atmosphere, and say what you want, some of your best and worst times came in high school, and these kids don't have the privilege of doing that. It's just all football, all focus. Now, obviously, that helps them prepare for the next level. But what is your feelings on this? Do you think this is something they should continue to do or something they should do away with?
Well, you know, I don't have a problem with it, Shane, because obviously no one's forcing these kids to go to this school. You know,
well, I mean,
I
you don't
it,
think
it,
that
it's for the elite of the elite. And I understand a high school, you know, you're losing out on some of that experience. You're kind of mm-hmm. you can potentially hurt high school programs, but it's such a small scale. I mean, we're talking like 120 kids nationally. I just don't. Yeah. I don't really think that small sample size is enough to say it's ruining high school football. Because, I mean, hell, Shane, I don't think anyone that you or I ever met or interacted with in Tennessee has gone down to IMG Academy and, you know, ruined football up there. So, I mean, we're talking about such a small percentage of athletes across the nation. I totally understand why people would kind of raise an eyebrow at this, but like I said, I mean, if they're willing to help someone to become all they can be and make a better impact at the next level, I think if I had that option, I think I would take it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I do think that some of these kids are forced. I think their parents, I think the recruiting process, being recruited at such a young age, you know, I don't know. I just feels dirty to me, Mike, and I don't like it. So, and to answer your question, I was not approached by IMG. I don't think they were around when I was in high school. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Didn't have a shot in hell if I did. So, I don't know. I just don't like it. I mean, of course I say that. And then, you know, used to watch teams like Hoover be on TV and, you know, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, to think that recruiting's not happening at the high schools is you're an idiot. Okay. Cause it is happening. Maryville High School here in Tennessee. I guarantee there's been some phone calls, some houses for sale that just was at the right price. I'm just saying it happens everywhere. So it's just IMG is just saying, okay, let's take the high school picture out of it. Let's create this machine down here. And you see what's cool about this school is who was the Alabama running back that he actually left college, went back to IMG to train and get ready for the draft. So you're seeing a lot of that as well. Just, some of these players maybe didn't finish college or something like that and use a place like IMG as a stepping stool to the NFL draft, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. All right, Shane, we got another one before we move on to the news.
All right. I don't know if we talked a lot about this, but Kirby Fart on our, killer name, by the way, on our SEC podcast Reddit page, asked about the transfer rule. Basically, what he's wanting to know, a couple of things here, is do we think that this rule, this transfer rule where they have to sit out a year, would be eliminated? And he really thinks that they do. It's probably going to be 5 years or 10 years down the road, but he thinks that it will happen. And these players won't have to sit out because a lot of times they're already appealing it and getting it reversed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second follow-up question to this, he was talking about Fields transferring to potentially UCF. And do we think UCF landing the former number one overall recruit in the country would elevate a lot of big words, UCF, in the eyes of the college football committee? Just seeing that they have players like this starting to go to their school. So two-part questions. I'll let you handle the first part there.
Yeah, I mean, he makes a good point. Good point there, Mr. Fart. I do not see the 1 year, you know, having to sit out rule. I don't think that's going away. I can understand why you would look at the current rules and think that may be the case because it does appear – more and more frequently, the NCAA and the conferences are allowing these guys to leave, kind of like you mentioned there, and a lot of them are getting waivers. But I also think we're maybe looking a little too much into what has happened in the last year. I think I don't want to say the floodgates have opened, but we've seen a lot of these waivers being granted. But now that we're seeing more and more and more transfers, are we going to see the same waivers granted? I don't know if the NCAA maybe they push back on it. They pull back a little bit. And Justin Fields will be a fascinating one to watch because, as we've noted, we still not really heard a reason for him to get eligible immediately. Like, I don't know what they would have until we hear those things. The Michigan defensive lineman that's going to Tennessee, Aubrey Solomon, now he's coming closer to home. So when you got a closer to home situation, I think that's a little bit different. Justin Fields is leaving home to go somewhere else. You know, the rumors, Ohio State, Florida State, those would be going away from home. So I don't know. That would be a hard one to argue. But I just don't think we've seen enough in the last year or so to say that, you know, all these transfers are happening and they're all going to get waivers, because I think we have seen several notable waivers granted. But if they just think that's going to be happening all the time now, I would anticipate the NCAA pulling back a little bit and just maybe not handing out as many waivers. That would be my guess.
Speaking of Fields, have you heard anywhere about potential landing spots? I know you mentioned Ohio State and maybe Florida State. Is which one, if you're given your short list, do you think he lands?
Well, from what I understand, he is really enamored with the new Ohio State coach, Ryan Day. I think he has a previous relationship with Fields' high school quarterback coach, so there's an obvious connection there. We just don't know if Dwayne Haskins is leaving Ohio State early for the NFL. And if he does, I think that makes a ton of sense, Shane. Another one that I've heard is Oklahoma, which if I was Justin Fields, I think I would want to go play for Lincoln Riley the way he's turning out Heisman winner after Heisman winner. But
yeah,
I think it's going to be one of those two now that kind of the dust has settled and everything's come out. I think it'll be Ohio State or Oklahoma.
So you don't think Mississippi State has a shot here?
No, I don't. I've not been hearing that lately, so they must be out of it. I'm not sure what's going on there, but
everybody's just putting the pieces together.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you one last thing. When they ask for these waivers, typically what's the timeline on these? Like, is this something that takes several months, or is this something we should hear about next month?
Well, that's the interesting thing, Shane, because they truly are a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm.
Demetrius Robertson, when he went from Cal to Georgia, it seemed like he got his handled in, I want to say, a month. And then when Josh Belk went from Clemson to South Carolina, that seemed to take 6 to 8 months. So I really don't have a good answer for you, because that's what the coaches say. That's what the schools say, case by case basis. So whoever is determining these on the NCAA side, it must truly be, you know, on an individual basis on whether they get those or not.
Okay. Good stuff, Mark.
All right, Shane. So we got all that. We wanted to hit up the mailbag because we kind of felt bad about leaving everyone hanging. So now that we got that out of the way, Shane, quite a bit of news here to get to. Let's go around the league.
Let's do it.
Now let's go now around let's the go league. Around the league.
We haven't decided how we're going to play the guys, so, and I wouldn't tell you if I did. So, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week, all our players. I mean, it's just like, right? I mean, just hear it over and over, and, you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice, so you just get used to it. It's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's going to be a street fight. This game's going to be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat. Launch bail. Let's get to work.
All right, Shane, let's start with Alabama. What I thought was particularly interesting here, Shane, and for anyone that missed it, this came from Thursday's media availability. Jalen Hurts, you know, for whatever reason, someone can't stick a mic in front of this guy's face without asking him about where he's going to play next year or where he's going to transfer. And old Jalen Hurts wasn't biting, man. He threw some pretty strong comments out there. So let's play this clip, Shane, and then we jump into it.
Okay.
I've spoken on that already in the fall. I've never said anything about transferring. Those words have never came out of my mouth. Those are all always been kind of assumptions. If I haven't spoken about it, I don't think it's a conversation that we had.
Did you ever think about transferring?
I spoke about it already. I spoke about it in the fall. I've never said anything about transferring. Those have always been assumptions. If I haven't spoken about it, I don't think it's a conversation to be had.
How tempting has it been, though, as the conversation has happened without you in it? You talk about the assumptions that have been made as far as transferring, redshirting, all those things. Have you been tempted to go out and just use your social media platform, whatever it is, to try and shoot some of that stuff down?
Like you said, you know, I've been counted out. I've been, you know, I was supposed to do this, or I was supposed to do that, or even after the game last year, I was supposed to be gone. And this year, I was supposed to red shirt and do all those things, but I'm here. And I'm here for this team, and that's what's most important for me. Being available and being ready to go to work for my guys.
So, okay, Shane, so Jalen Hurts, you know, he's pretty adamant there.
Yeah.
Does not want to talk about transferring. But what I really wanted to ask you, because I think everything we've seen of Jalen Hurts, ultimate team player, you know, he's going to do whatever's asked to him at Alabama, because he's just, not only does he seem to be a hell of a guy, but he's just, I mean, he may be the best damn teammate I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But a lot of Alabama people in the media, I should say, they're reading into these comments to suggest, hey, maybe Jalen Hurts may come back for his senior year. I'm not buying that at all. I think this is just more of what I just referenced there. I think he's just trying to deflect attention, you know, saying it's not about me right now. It's about Alabama. We're trying to win this Oklahoma game. We're trying to win a mm-hmm. national championship. And when that's settled, I don't think there's any chance he returns to Alabama based on these comments. Do you agree or disagree with me?
Yeah, I think this is just Jalen not wanting to be the focal point here this offseason. Well, not offseason, but, you know, going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something we saw at the beginning of the season, and the whole controversy and thing. This became about the quarterback controversy. That's not what he wants. He wants to focus on, you know, winning these next two ball games. So that's just, I don't know. Maybe he's grown up a little bit during this season, you know, going through what he's gone through. And maybe in his mind, he feels like he still has a shot to prove that he's the best quarterback on this team. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think do you think there's a chance he comes back next year?
No, but I do think it's a little disingenuous for him to say, I never said anything about transferring while he did. Right. It was his damn father that went out there and spoke to, I believe it was Bleacher Report that put it out there that, and I believe the quote was, you know, Jalen Hurts will be the, you know, most sought after free agent in history of college football. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's true. You never put it out there, Jalen, but maybe you got to control your dad a little bit more, because when someone's father puts that out there, the questions are going to come.
Yeah. He gone.
And one final thing, Shane, this was kind of a slipped under the radar. It seems like anytime Alabama breaks the rules, very few people talk about it, but it was announced on Christmas Eve that their starting offensive guard, Deontay Brown, and a backup lineman, Elliott Baker, and a backup tight end, Kendrick James, have been suspended, and they did not make the trip to Miami for the Orange Bowl. And Nick Saban on Thursday announced that was due to NCAA violations, and it sounds like their careers may be over.
Oh, shit.
Thoughts on those three players breaking the rules, Shane?
Oh, man, must have been really bad. I mean, it had to be real bad. We don't have anything, no news articles, because Clemson had a few get dismissed, but we found out it was about, you know, failing their drug test, but this one here sounds like it could be a little bit more serious.
Those guys didn't get dismissed. They're just suspended for the time being. But, yeah, it sounds like these guys for Alabama, their college careers, or at least their Alabama careers, appear to be over.
Damn, that's a huge blow. Starting guard, man. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that they would, like, never be able to play college football again. I thought this was – honestly, when I first saw it, I thought it was possibly like a drug test that they failed or something like that. But, no, this sounds pretty serious. I should probably do a little research on this one, Mike. What's the guy's name again? The starting guard.
Deontay Brown. He's a sophomore, so you have to be pretty damn good to start at Alabama and be a sophomore, especially with all the five-star linemen they get. So,
yeah,
he's a good player. So, I mean, that's a big loss, I think.
Man, just when they got rid of, what's that little, never mind, Topics. You remember Topics?
No.
Oh, no, that's old man stuff. All right, you cut that out. Usually you could type in what, you know, what city they're from and Topics, and there's these people talk about, like, you know, who's the hottest cop on patrol on third shift, you know. That's usually where you could find your deep down dirt on some of these players. So they eliminated that this week. So we do not have Topics anymore. So I'm going to have to do a little more research on this one. But I am curious. I mean, it says team rules and policies.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we don't know. But we will find out. It always comes out, Mark.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Florida. I thought this was pretty interesting. This was Dan Mullen. You know, leading up to the Peach Bowl, some of his media availability, you know, a lot of these pressers, they kind of give, you know, some BS answers and all that. But I thought this was a little bit more than just simple coach speak. And this is Dan Mullen on the importance of Florida beating Michigan here in the upcoming Peach Bowl.
I think it's huge. One, you know, I don't know if this game has a direct correlation on what next year's season's going to be like, but I do know that this game has a direct correlation on how we're going to feel between now and the start of next year. And, you know, I think anytime you finish the season on a win, I mean, especially you win this game, you're going to finish in the top 10, have high expectations going into next season, but you're also going to have an awful lot of confidence going into that off season of our guys, you know, I mean, the energy and the boost that it can give you. And to be honest with you, you know, you play on December the 29th, and we don't play again until Labor Day next year. That's a long time to not be smiling that whole time. You wouldn't be smiling after the win. I love that feeling. You win that last game and you leave on a high note.
All right, Shane. So you're buying it here, Dan Mullen. You know, I think a lot of people, I think everyone, reasonable fans, expected Florida to bounce back from that terrible season they had last year. But I don't know anyone that was really predicting them to win 9 games. They win this Michigan game, that'll be 10 games. Mm-hmm. And the momentum that'll carry on. And when you look around and you see Florida State and Miami struggling, there's a really good chance that Florida kind of seizes that pole position in the Sunshine State. Are you buying what Dan Mullen's selling here on the importance of winning this game and the momentum that can come with it?
Yeah, I think there is a lot of momentum. And just the fact it's Michigan. This is a team that we talked about for a long time being one of those four in the top four playoffs, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's before they dropped the game to Ohio State. So a lot of people watch Michigan. A lot of people know, you know, coach up there, Jim Harbaugh. And this is a big school to end your season with. And to go out 10-3, man. You couldn't ask. I don't care what you're saying. Dan Mullen has done a great job the first year down there for the Gators, mm-hmm. without a doubt, man.
All right, Shane. Speaking of another guy in his first year on the job, let's jump over to Tennessee. This is something that we wanted to hit on. This is kind of old news, but we just never had a chance to discuss it. And because the Vols obviously aren't playing in a bowl game, this was basically the only thing we had to discuss. Now, we should note, since we last recorded, they did land Kavaris Crouch, Shane. That was huge.
Yeah, buddy.
From everything I'm reading, if for anyone that missed it, The Athletic did a really in-depth piece on Kavaris Crouch. For anyone that doesn't know who that is, he's listed as the number 2 athlete in the nation, but he's not going to be an athlete for Tennessee. He's going to be an outside linebacker. And, I mean, what it was said in that article, Shane, was this is the type of player that can take a very good team and make them a playoff team. So,
oh, wow.
I mean, and that this article really goes in depth on just the type of person he is. And for anyone that doesn't know, he was a running back in high school. But, you know, he's a very smart guy where he realized he's looking at NFL salaries. They kept mentioning Le'Veon Bell, your guy Shane, and just the fact that he's an elite running back, but he can't get paid. And Crouch was looking at that like, well, why would I want to be a running back when I can be an outside linebacker and still get paid and still play the game I love? So exactly. Very in-depth piece on him. He seems like a very mature young man. And he played running back because his high school team needed him to do so. You know, he's a team player as well. beyond that, Shane, what we wanted to dive in here on Tennessee, this is from Jeremy Pruitt's national signing or early signing period press conference. He was asked the offensive coordinator question. Shane, you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
We're 32 days into this search. Here's what old Pruitt had to say about not having an offensive coordinator.
I'd rather talk about recruiting right now. The offensive coordinator sometimes is overrated. You can watch these teams out here, and there's some of these teams it probably doesn't matter who the offensive coordinator is based off talent or lack thereof. So I think the most important thing right now is recruiting, and we'll worry about that later.
All right, Shane, the thing that Vol Nation has been just dying for, Pruitt says, overrated. What do you agree or disagree there?
I don't know. At this point, I disagree. Mm-hmm. Just because our offense was that bad. It would be one thing if we were competitive in these games and it didn't stick out like a sore thumb. But the fact of the matter is we had a shitty offense. We couldn't get anything going running. We couldn't get anything going passing. Mm-hmm. Everything we put out there didn't work. I mean, we were three and out, man. That's what we were every time, three and out. So, yeah, it kind of matters. I mean, I get what Coach is saying. Which makes me believe that our guy is on this staff already. The longer that this gets dragged out, mm-hmm. it just feels like we're going to be hiring from within. So maybe that's why it doesn't matter, because all the big names have been picked up already.
Well, Shane, I could go either way with this one. And I see what he's saying here with it being overrated. And typically mm-hmm. I agree, Shane. It's more about the players. Now, we've seen that at Alabama. While, people keep throwing all these accolades at Mike Locksley, I think you and I are both in the same camp saying he's vastly overrated.
Mm-hmm.
I had to think for about 10 minutes the other day, who in the hell was Alabama's coordinator last year, offensive coordinator? Do you even know his name, Shane?
Last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, what's-his-face.
Exactly. It didn't even fucking matter, and they won the national championship. His name was Brian Daboll, but it didn't matter, Shane, because they got all these great players. Now, that's not to say that, anybody can go coach these guys, but mm-hmm. it's the fact that every time Alabama takes the field, they have a huge advantage in talent, 99 out of 100 times. And that's why they're winning 98 out of 100 times, because they rarely are upset, and they just have better players than everybody. That's kind of what Pruitt's message here, and I agree when he says it's overrated. Now, I can flip it to the other side, Shane. I'm surprised you weren't willing to go this far, but I think if Jeremy Pruitt, completely flops with this offensive coordinator hire and just makes a terrible decision,
yeah,
I think it could cost him his job at Tennessee. And I'm not saying next year or the year after, but I mean, if they just hire, a complete failure, that's going to be hard for Jeremy Pruitt to get over. Much easier to hire a guy that there's a big gap between a home run hire and a complete failure. So I'm not saying he's batting 50-50 where it's going to go one way or another, but for Jeremy Pruitt being a defensive guy, we kind of, like you said, we saw what it was like with Tyson Helton and very mixed results, if you want mm-hmm. to be even kind to say that. So it is important for him to get someone that knows what they're doing, someone that he trusts, someone that he's on the same page with.
Yeah.
So I kind of see it from both angles there, Shane, but I really do think that he needs to make a good hire here if his tenure is going to work. And like I said, if he hires a complete damn failure, I think it could be his undoing there on Rocky Top.
Do you think offense is overrated? I mean, when you think about the SEC, I mean, just let's say the last 5 years, you think about who's always on top in the SEC. It feels like it's always the defensive teams, mm-hmm. Like your Alabamas, your Georgias, LSUs, Floridas, going into this season, they still were extremely great on defense. So don't it feel like maybe offense really doesn't matter? I mean, if you want to compete, you got to have a great defense.
Well, I think the thing that you've hit on, though, Shane, is those teams also have offenses that play to the strengths of the defenses.
Mm-hmm.
And I can prove my point here, Shane. Outside of Alabama, I would say the SEC's best defense in over the last 10 years, just throw out there. But I would say
yeah.
that the SEC's best defense behind Alabama during that time, who do you think that would be, Shane?
In the last 10 years?
Yeah, most consistent, I guess you say, is most always there with defense.
I'd say LSU.
That's the team, Shane, and they never compete for the SEC because they have an incompetent offense. They never have a quarterback. I mean, they have star running back after star running back, but they're just not competing because they have no offense to speak of. I think that's starting to change a little bit. It was the 1 year they had Zach Mettenberger and, you know, those elite receivers. I mean, they weren't even competitive then because the defense wasn't quite there. So so I kind of disagree with you. Offense is important. Defense dominates in the SEC, but you still have to have an offense. You know, we've seen it at Georgia and until this year at Alabama. You know, outstanding running games. It plays to the strength of that defense, and it makes those defenses even better, I think, when the offense is, you know, chewing up clock on the other end. So I wouldn't say overrated, but I think in the SEC, clearly, you have to have an elite defense. Otherwise, you don't have a chance.
I feel you. I'll tell you what, LSU's offense screwed me in fantasy football this week. Got Odell Beckham and Spencer Ware just sitting on the bench, Mike. So anyway, side note.
All right, Shade, last team that I have to hit on before we get into our picks here, Texas A&M. This is kind of big news here. They're playing in the Gator Bowl against NC State. And since we've last recorded here, Donovan Wilson, their outstanding safety, and Ataro Alaka, their outstanding linebacker, both of them out for the Gator Bowl, Shane. They've both had surgeries. I think it's really bad news that they're out without Wilson because he's a senior. So his career is now over. They were the top two tacklers on the A&M's team this year. Those are big losses for the Aggies on the defensive side heading into this one.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just kind of curious how that game's going to play out now. I've got the Aggies winning, but I don't know, man.
And I can't. From what I understand, NC State's their best offensive player and their best defensive player, they are out as well, but they're just choosing to sit out, unlike the Aggie players who had to undergo surgeries.
Okay. It's going to be a hell of a game. When is that one? That is December 31st. Now we're finally getting to some good games, Mike.
Well, speaking of that, Shane, you ready to make some SEC bowl picks?
Yeah, buddy.
Gambling? Who said anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
No, that was my lock. I said to go with Texas A&M. I was right there.
They're going to beat the brakes off Miami. You watch it.
Any chance you think Missouri beats Georgia this year?
Not a chance in hell, man. Not a chance.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for us.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
All right, so we're not going to do all the SEC bowl picks right now because we are going to record again kind of midway mark here after the playoff games, which will be on Saturday. So we're just going to go down the five games, Shane, involving SEC teams and the Clemson-Notre Dame playoff game. And let's just go in order. Unfortunately, Vanderbilt's playing Thursday night, so by the time you guys hear this, this game will already be played, but you know, this is how you'll track whether Shane and I know what the hell we're talking about. Let's start with the Texas Bowl. Shane, played on Thursday evening. Vanderbilt is a 4-point favorite over Baylor. Who do you got in this one?
Not enough points, Mike. I've got this one recording, so I hope you haven't looked it up or anything right now. But I love Vanderbilt's offense. They're toward the end. I just think that they were extremely balanced. And I'm not afraid of Baylor, not to mention Hurd's going to be out of this game, their best receiver. So I've got Vanderbilt winning this thing and winning it pretty good. I've got Vandy winning 35, Baylor 14.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm right there with you, Shane. It's pretty weird to say Jalen Hurd, the Baylor's top receiver, but that's the case we got going on in here. Now, I believe the last time Vanderbilt went to a bowl game under Derek Mason, they were kind of pathetic on offense. This is a different offense, obviously, Shane. They got Kyle Shurmur, his final game, college player. You know, I really like Vanderbilt down the stretch. They seem to kind of getting it going, but I'm not as secure as you thinking that this is going to be a run out. I've got Vanderbilt by only the slimmest of margins. I like Baylor to cover in this one, Shane. I'm going Vanderbilt 28, Baylor 27. I think this is going to be a hell of a game. And, you know, the last SEC game we got was a thriller down in College Station. I'm hoping this one will be kind of the same.
Okay, I'm with you.
All right, Shane, so jumping to the next game on the docket here, we've got the Music City Bowl, Shane. This one's going to be played on Friday. Got Purdue. We got Auburn. And let's see, Auburn, this was kind of surprising me. Auburn's a 3.5-point favorite. Who do you like in this one?
Oh, man, I'm not a fan of Auburn, man. I just think that they got too much stuff going on back home to focus on this game. I think it distracts them. Purdue, from what I have watched, I mean, these fans love these players. So I expect that to be a home field game for Purdue. I expect them to travel well. And I've got them winning this thing. I've got them winning, not by much, but I got Purdue winning 21, Auburn 17.
Well, Shane, we're on the market once again. I don't like Auburn in this one. Now, I know Purdue's got, you know, one of the most outstanding receivers in the country. I think that's going to be tough for Auburn to deal with. Jarrett Stidham is playing in this bowl game. I think it would be better if he didn't, Shane. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, but I think if you're Auburn, you want to get a look at those backup quarterbacks, get a head start on 2019's quarterback competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's out there that they were after Kelly Bryant, so they're already looking in the grad transfer market, and now you got Jarrett Stidham playing here, who he's really struggled this year. He's not been that good outside of a game or two. You know, he looked good in the Iron Bowl. He looked good against Texas A&M, but at least the fourth quarter. So, I don't know. I'm just not buying him this year, and I don't think that I don't even know why he's playing in this game. When you look at guys like Will Grier sitting out, I mean, it kind of seems like the same deal to me. So I'm just not sure what is going on here. I don't think that the Auburn's offensive coordinator, Chip Lindsey, has already left to Kansas. Mm-hmm. You got Brohm turned down Louisville to return to Purdue. You know, I think that's going to be huge. I think his team's going to be fired up. You know, I think with that emotion, you know, you're on completely different spectrums here, Shane. You got a rising program with a coach turning down his alma mater to Gus Malzahn. Can't get the red shirt rule right. Can't get anything damn right. Everyone wants him fired. We're just completely different dynamics here, Shane. So I like Purdue to beat Auburn by 10. I'm going 30-20. Purdue gets it done.
Oh, wow, man. You are pumped up for this game, Mike. I think this is the one I'm looking forward to least. But it sounds like the more you talk, the more I want to watch it. So, yeah, let's see it, man. Let's see this good game.
All right, how about this one, Shane? I think this one I had high hopes for, but not so much anymore. The Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Shane, between Florida and Michigan. I was pretty shocked when I saw this line. I figured it was adjusted, but Michigan is a 6-point favorite. Who do you like in this one?
Michigan about to get that ass smoked, Mike, because Florida ain't playing around. They got a better defense, and I think their offenses can handle Shea. I mean, if anybody can handle Shea, it's Dan Mullen.
Yep.
He did it for a couple years down there at Mississippi State. So I like Florida, and I like them big here. Well, I say big, but I think it's going to be Florida 27, Michigan 14.
Ooh, Shane, we almost got the same score, too. I'm going with you here. I like Florida to win 24, Michigan 14. Now, of course, the Wolverines, you know, they have a very strong history of beating Florida in recent years. But, man, I don't know, Shane. I'm not feeling too good about the Wolverines. And I'm going to make a crazy, bold prediction here, Shane. I think Jim Harbaugh, I think this is his final game as Michigan's coach.
I think he's going to the Jets.
I think he's going to the NFL, Shane. I don't know which team. Maybe Green Bay Packers. I don't know the team. I just think he's gone. I think he is. I think he's tuned out. He's losing every damn recruiting battle to Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah.
His right tackle, Shane, sitting this out. His starting running back, Shane, sitting it out. Starting defensive tackle, sitting it out. Starting middle linebacker, sitting it out. All these guys sitting it out. Jim Harbaugh checked out. I like what Dan Mullen's doing. I think, you know, I'm a little concerned. Felipe Franks, he's inconsistent, but I could even see this, Shane, with basically another month of practice. Maybe Felipe Franks finally does turn that corner. Maybe he finally gets what Dan Mullen is trying to get him to do. We saw flashes of it all year, but we also saw flashes of the inconsistency. Michigan does have a really good defense. That's why I'm not going point crazy here. But I can't believe Michigan is favored in this one. I would take those points immediately. I think that would be my best bet right there. So I've got Florida not only covering the 6 points, but winning by 10. So you're talking a 16-point spread swing there. Florida 24, Michigan 14.
Oh, I like it, man. I like it. I'm like you, man. I want to put money on this one. I may slip a hundo on this one, Mike.
All right, Shane. The Belk Bowl of South Carolina versus Virginia. Belk Bowl is always a good one, Shane. We got South Carolina favored by 5. Who do you like in this one?
Mike. I went back and forth on this one, brother, and I just don't know. I really don't. I kept flipping a coin, and I didn't like the results. I kept flipping that coin, and I finally went with University of Virginia on this one. Ooh. So don't kill me, South Carolina, because usually I'm wrong. In fact, I'm almost always wrong. I got Virginia winning this game. I think it's going to be kind of a lower-scoring game, 24, South Carolina, 21.
All right, Shane, finally we get a little disagreement here. I'm going South Carolina, and I like them big. I'm going South Carolina 33, Virginia 13. And reason being, Shane, I think the ACC has been very, very average this year. I'm not trying to diminish Clemson's season. I think they were outstanding. You know, we saw Syracuse. I think they had a pretty good year, but – you know, outside of the, you know, the very top of that league, I think the rest of it was kind of borderline at best. I think Virginia's kind of rose up the ranks there because of it. I think when they get matched up against these South Carolina receivers, we saw what they were able to do against Clemson. It kind of all started to click. I think that the next week, you know, who in the hell could have gotten up for Akron? We kind of saw that they kind of floated back down. I think this will be another one where they're back up. I would feel more confident of this pick, Shane, if Deebo Samuel was playing. Of course, he's sitting this one out. I don't hold that against him by any means, but I just feel more comfortable with that pick if he was playing. But, yeah, I like South Carolina to roll in this one. I'm going South Carolina to win by 20.
Okay. Well, I've been wrong just about every one of these games, so South Carolina fans should be happy.
All right, Shane, let's get into some playoff picks here. And something that we kind of hit on before, this was announced officially on Thursday. Dexter Lawrence, Clemson's outstanding defensive lineman, and he's like a fullback, goal line halfback for them. He scored a couple touchdowns this year, Shane. He is out because he failed a drug test for some substance I never even damn heard of, but apparently he's claiming he didn't know what he took. He and two others, you know, failed the test for it, and Clemson's fighting it. They said they're sticking with their player, but his test sample was a fail. His second sample was a fail, so he is out. But I'm not sure that makes too big of a difference here. Clemson is still a 12.5-point favorite over Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl. This is going to be some Saturday night playoff action. It's going to be a lot of fun. Who do you like in this one, Shane?
Well, I did have Clemson winning this one big until I found out the news. So I had it at 42-17. So I've had to adjust it, and now I've got it 38-17. Notre Dame's about to get smoked, brother.
Yeah, I've got something similar, Shane. I've got Clemson 42, Notre Dame 14. And I think it's hilarious, Shane. A lot of people, for whatever reason, are touting Notre Dame here lately. I mean, they just – I don't know. I don't know who in the hell they've beaten with a pulse. I keep coming back to, you know, the one game that I really did a deep dive on Notre Dame was Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt, particularly early in the year, was not that good, but they damn near beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame. Yeah. I don't think this game is even going to be competitive, Shane. We're both on the same page there. And this may be the last time Notre Dame gets invited to a playoff if it's as bad as I suspect it'll be. All right, Shane, before we get into this Alabama-Oklahoma game, I do want to make this note for anyone that has never watched one of these coaches' film room shows. I got to recommend it. It's going to be, I think they're on ESPNU or ESPN2. It's on one of the ESPNs there during the college football playoff games. And why, you know, some people may not, they may be a little turned off by these. So I'm not saying this is for everyone, but this is the way I watch these playoff games. And Shane, if you're not aware, for that Cotton Bowl game between Clemson and Notre Dame, they're going to have Mac Brown, the new North Carolina coach, former Texas coach.
Yeah.
The Wake Forest coach, Dave Clawson. The Georgia Tech coach, Paul Johnson. And the Memphis coach, the old gambling man, Mike Norvell. They are in studio. And basically what it is they're watching the game. And what's fascinating about it is they call out plays before they happen. They give you an insight into what the coaches are thinking at the time. And I love it. I think it's the only way to watch these games. And
it's like, isn't that like Space Odyssey, where they sit in there and they watch the movies and they talk the whole time?
I mean, that's exactly, it's Mystery Science Theater. That's exactly
like Tony Romo's in there, you know, just giving them the play by play. I don't know if do you like that? I mean,
I love it. I love it.
Okay. Maybe it's something I can flip on for a little bit to, you know, entertain me, but I don't think I could watch it the entire game.
And then for the Orange Bowl, Shane, that we're about to dive into here between Alabama and Oklahoma, they got Boston College coach Steve Adazio, Arizona coach Herm Edwards, Boise coach Brian Harsin, and this guy was on last year. He was great. TCU coach Gary Patterson, defensive mastermind. He'll be calling out everything on the defensive side. I just think it's fascinating to listen to these guys talk in real time about these games. I just think it's pretty interesting, but I just wanted to get that out there in case anyone was unaware that was going on. I recommend watching that. You may be like Shane and may find it annoying, but if you're just like an X's and O's guy, I think you'll really love it. Now let's jump into the pick here, Shane, for the Orange Bowl between Alabama and Oklahoma. Alabama's a 14-point favorite. Who do you like in this one?
Real quick, did you play that clip about the defensive lineman?
No, I didn't.
This was awesome. I just thought this, and we all had those moments when you're about to say something you shouldn't. And I have plenty of those on this show. So I just thought this was hilarious.
Yeah, so let's roll this for anyone that doesn't know that missed. This came down on Thursday, and this is Alabama's outstanding defensive lineman, Quinnen Williams, when he was asked to share his thoughts on Kyler Murray.
Have you gone up against any quarterback that slightly resembles Kyler Murray?
No, I don't feel like I have going against a quarterback slightly resembling Kyler Murray, but I feel like Kyler Murray is not where about.
What's that?
No, I'm good.
All right, Shane. I mean, I thought the Nick Saban was poking over his shoulder with you know, a gun or something, the way he halted this mid-sentence.
Oh, love it, man. You ever see that commercial Nick Saban did where that girl's trying to buy a dress? And it's like, that's not wise for your money or something like that. That's what I kept thinking of, just him sitting on his shoulder like, No more ammunition. So I thought that was awesome. Back to this game. This honestly is one of the games I'm looking forward to the most. Out of all the playoffs, maybe Bama and Clemson would be really interesting. But for right now, Oklahoma, I mean, you got the two Heisman hopefuls and one of them winning the Heisman probably shouldn't have. I just think there's so much good stuff, storylines coming out of this game. So I just think Oklahoma, I think they could keep up offensively, but defensively they have no shot. So I think Bama pulls away from this thing. I've got Bama winning 37, Oklahoma 31. So I got it a high-scoring game, but I just think Alabama pulls away there at the end.
You know, one note on this game, Shane, this is the over-under is at 70.
Oh, wow.
And that's the highest over-under in the Nick Saban era at Alabama. So that's pretty incredible. But I'm going way over, Shane. I'm going Alabama 55. Oklahoma 24. I kind of agree with what you're saying with Oklahoma's offense, but I just think, you know, Kyler Murray's such a small guy. If he takes a shot or two against these guys at Alabama, I think that's really going to affect this game. How well can Oklahoma run on Alabama, I think, will be key. I don't think they're going to be able to do it too well. But you know, I don't want to completely bury the Sooners here because, you know, obviously we talk SEC here. We don't do much Oklahoma. But from what I have seen of the Sooners, Shane, they have an offensive line that I'm incredibly impressed with. They won the Joe Moore Award given to the nation's top offensive line unit. If they can keep him, Kyler Murray, that is, clean for the entire game, I will give this team a shot to pull the upset. But kind of like you alluded to there, I just don't know if Oklahoma's going to get a damn stop in this game. I don't know if they can stop Alabama from running the ball. I don't think they can stop them from throwing the ball. I don't know if they're going to get a single stop in this game. So that is just incredibly hard and backbreaking to come back from when you're just giving up score after score after score. But like I said, if they could keep Kyler Murray clean, I think they potentially could make this a game. But, you know, just one or two shots. We've heard it here, Shade, from Quinnen Williams. You know what he was going to say right there. He's going to say, you know, Kyler Murray is not that good, and he didn't deserve this Heisman, and he's playing against Big 12 defenses. You got guys like Mac Wilson out there talking trash, and you saw how many of those guys were fired up. Tua Tagovailoa didn't win the Heisman. I mean, they took it personally. And I think they're going to show that in this game and just really come out with a passion and really, you know, holding Oklahoma to 24, that may not sound like a great defensive performance, but I think it could be. Now, my only concern here, Shane, is the fact that, you know, I wasn't really buying into Alabama's defense for most of the year. They really showed up against teams like LSU and Mississippi State. But those teams are very one-dimensional and just not that good on offense to begin with.
Right.
So how much of that, I don't know if that was Alabama's defense or those offenses, but we're going to find out Saturday because if they limit Oklahoma, I think once again we know that Nick Saban's defense is rolling and, you know, sets up potentially for a hell of a final here. I know Clemson and Alabama, it's kind of boring. I mean, it's I don't know if boring is the right word, but repetitive. But this year, it really is the two best teams in college football, it looks like to me.
Yeah, yeah. No, it should be good, man.
All right, Shane, you got anything before we hop off here?
Yeah, just wanted to appreciate everybody hanging out with us. And a few of you remember we've got this bowl pick'em. So I kind of wanted to just give you an update. Remember, we are awarding a prize for first place and last place. So for first place, it's pretty close, but WGAS is, I mean, he is starting to really pull away here. 97.5% correct.
Damn.
I mean, this guy or girl is on fire. So, WGS, great job. Taj 3 is at 87.5%. And the Bayou Bink 1 is at 75.1%. So, there's your top three. Now, let's go to the bottom three.
Yeah, where are you at here on this one, Shane?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because in last place, it is not Shane. It's actually Sleepy Joe, and this joker's at 14.8. And right above him is Cousin Shane at 15.4%. And then third is Joseph673. He's at 16.1%. So it's important to point out here that Sleepy Joe is my brother, Mike's cousin, his other cousin. So the apple did not fall far from the tree here. We are terrible at picks. So, but actually, I think I just got the Wisconsin one. So that one hasn't been factored in yet. So, and most of my big points are here at the end. So, I mean, anything can happen, but I just wanted to give you the top three, bottom three. Also, if you got a second, Mike, I'd like to read a review.
Okay, let's do it.
This one comes from Bish9Us. Now, I may be messing up on this name. It could be Bish. It could be Bish. But let's just say it's Bish9Us. Listed us 5-star great podcast. Very knowledgeable and entertaining. So, Bish9Us. However you say your name, which is an awesome name, I appreciate it. And I appreciate all the listeners hanging out with us. We are getting into the off season. I know it's been kind of a weird week with the with a holiday. But next week, we will be 3 days, right?
Yes,
Monday,
sir.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Okay.
Yes, sir. I'll be off the mountaintop. I'll be back in my command center. I'll be ready to go.
All right, man. Good, good. We got some good games this weekend. Save for these moments, fellas and ladies, because it won't be long. We will not have football, and you'll be missing this. I did not want to watch that game the other day. God, what was it? It had like 6 turnovers in it.
It was the Cheez-It Bowl everyone was talking about.
God, I didn't want to watch it, but I was in the back of my mind. I'm like, you know what, Shane? A few weeks, we ain't going to have college football anymore, so you better enjoy it while you can. So I sat in there and I watched that horrible, horrible game. So, but yeah, that's all I got, Mike.
All right, Shane, thanks for joining me. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We really appreciate it, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.